Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Manny Machado, stick it on the West Coast. The big story today in the national sports scene. Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. It's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. And yes, Manny Machado finally comes off of the free agent market, signing a 10-year, $300 million deal with the San Diego Padres. This was broke earlier today. There's a lot of problems that I have with free agency in Major League Baseball. February 19th, and the two biggest free agent prizes, Machado and Harper, were on the market last night. Now, Bryce Harper is still on the market, and we will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But ESPN broke this news earlier today that Machado with the Padres agreed to terms on a long contract. And that's what individuals are looking for. That's been the holdup. We went through this last offseason, not to the extent as far as the surprise factor is this year, considering that Machado and Harper are two elites. Yu Darvish last year was coming off of a horrible showing in the World Series. A lot of questions about his health. Took him a while, but he did get a $100 million contract. Machado, biggest free agent contract in the history of American sports. Reportedly, it features an opt-out provision under the fifth year. Now, the White Sox seem to be the team that were closest to landing Machado. This is why it kind of shocks me a little bit. But as far as the deal goes, I have to believe that Machado chooses to go to San Diego and stick on the West Coast because he gets 10 years and $300 million. There was a report that the White Sox didn't offer compensation that touched the $300 million price tag. And I can see why. I mean, that's a big, big commitment. And I'll go over the statistics on Machado. And if I think he's not worth it, in my opinion. He's not worth $300 million. And you would have a hard time convincing me that he is. I don't think Bryce Harper's worth $300 million, but Bryce Harper's happy to see this deal signed today because that means that he can now look at $301, and he may get it. I think there's a great chance he actually gets $301. It proves that teams are willing to give out 10-year deals, and I think the Padres are in the right situation to do this at the moment. And again, this is a talk that we can have a little bit deeper on in the conversation, but the saga of Manny Machado and his free agency, it's over. He's now a member of the San Diego Padres, and to me, this kind of comes out of left field. We talked about maybe him going to San Francisco. Philadelphia was rumored for both Machado and Harper. There was talks of the Yankees, talks of the White Sox, but nobody really talking about San Diego. And they come firing in. Now, the Padres still haven't ruled out signing Bryce Harper. That's according to some rumors. John Heyman reported this on Twitter today. They're pulling off one of the big surprises, but they're not ruling out Harper, too. $110 million payroll is still lower than most teams in Major League Baseball. They may not be done yet. And that was the big story going into the offseason. Could Philadelphia pull it off? And they had the means to. And Philadelphia was in a situation to where if they grab both Machado and Harper, to me, they instantly go to the very top of the National League. To me, they would be the front runners based on what they have. And they were a great surprise last year. I know things didn't really pan out late in the season, but if you land both Harper and Machado, to me, the Phillies were set up. I don't know that the Padres are, and it's still unclear what the market is for Harper. There are reports that the Nationals have offered him the exact deal that Machado ended up with, and he turned that down back in October. And so, again, Machado getting $300 million, to me, I think anyone that signs him is going to have to offer north of $300 million, and you're going to have to give him 10 years. So, to me, I guess there's a possibility that Bryce Harper could end up going to San Francisco, although that seems very unlikely. I think you can rule out LA, at least at the moment, from everything that we've read, because the Dodgers seem fit on knocking down salary cost so they can sell minority ownership in the team. To me, I think the best option for Bryce Harper at this stage, it's probably Washington, unless San Diego wants to go all in and wrap up $600 million in between two players. To me, it would make sense for Bryce Harper to re-up in Washington and get that $300 million contract. Now, outside of that, there is some sad news coming out of Major League Baseball today. Former Dodger pitching great Don Newcomb has died after a lengthy illness. The team made this announcement earlier today. He was 92 years old. Now, Newcomb, his historical significance, one of the first African-American pitchers in Major League Baseball, joined the Brooklyn Dodgers back in 1949, won Rookie of the Year, and then helped the Dodgers to the NL pennant. In his debut season, he was teammates with Jackie Robinson and Roy Campanella. They were three of the first four African-Americans, along with Larry Doby, who was with Cleveland, to appear in an All-Star game. Some definite historical significance for Don Newcomb, an historical career with the Dodgers, and sadly today he has passed on at the age of 92. Outside of that, it is a slower day in the national sports scene. Like I said, the big story, it's Machado signing a deal with the San Diego Padres. As far as the NBA goes, did you enjoy the All-Star game? Because I didn't. I wasn't big on it. When we have an NBA podcast, Triple J NBA Talk, which you can listen to at CastleCountryRadio.com, where we talked about the All-Star game on Sunday, I'm not feeling the All-Star game in the NBA anymore. It may actually be just a step above what we see in the NFL. I hate the idea that it's not East versus West. I had a problem with that in the NFL when they drafted teams. We didn't have NFC versus AFC. It's a gimmick, and I think the NBA should go away from it immediately. The dunk contest, it was okay. Three-point contest is always entertaining. Skills contest is fun. But for me, the dunk contest and the All-Star game just really didn't do a whole lot for me. We don't have any NBA basketball today. We don't have any tomorrow. It'll pick back up on Thursday, so still a couple of days as teams rejuvenate for the final 25-26 games of the regular season. On the show today, we are going to talk a lot of basketball, just on the local sports front. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, final 3 days of the high school basketball season this week. Three out of the four teams in the 3A classification from here in the Castle Country area moved on. Carbon Lady Dinos knocked off Manti. Lady Spartans beat ALA by 71 points. And then we had Emory's Boys Squad picking up a big win over South Summit on Saturday night. The lone team that did not get through, the Carbon Dino Boys Squad, ran into a very, very good Morgan basketball team, and unfortunately they came up short. But we will talk some high school basketball today. Coach Ted Bianco with the Lady Dinos is scheduled to join us next segment, actually, and then we'll catch up with Coach Lynn Tuttle in just a bit. So all that's coming up. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, fresh off the President's Day holiday, and we'll get moving in just a moment. Live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Hello, sports fans.
Time for sports.
Let the games begin.
Turn on the radio.
It's time to talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner.
Only 3 days remaining in the high school basketball season. We're going to continue that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It'll be at the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield, and things are shaping up quite nice, I think, for a couple of teams here in the local area. The Emory boys and girls both punched their ticket with wins in the opening round, and we'll talk a lot of Emory High School basketball on the show tomorrow. Today, however, we are going to talk Carbon High School basketball. Now, the boys team, unfortunately, their season came to an end early Saturday morning, but the girls picked up a win Friday afternoon by knocking off the Manti Templars out of Region 15. And joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Ted Bianco on the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. We have a lot to talk about. I know it's a fun time. It's even more fun knowing that you punched your ticket to the quarterfinals, which means the girls will participate in the final 3 days of the season. We can start by talking about the win this past Friday, 58-29 over Manti. Coach, kind of a slow start, but the girls took over late in the contest and pulled away.
Well, Manti came out and they were really aggressive, and that kind of affected the way we played a little bit. We allowed their pressure to get to us a bit, and we missed some easy shots, missed a couple free throws, and they out-rebounded us in the first half, which was, which in my opinion, shouldn't have happened. But we were, I think we were a little bit shell-shocked. And I think Manti, having played that game on Wednesday, that was may have been a little bit of an advantage to them. You know, actually getting to play a game and then stepping on the court and taking it to us. And it was a good experience for us. I thought our girls responded well. We got a lead. We maintained the lead the whole game. And the thing that I was most pleased with is the adjustments that we made in the second half. The girls came out and did exactly what we wanted them to do.
Yeah, you know, Coach, you and I had the conversation last week of the lack of competition that you guys were faced with as far as Region 14 goes. Not massive adversity, but great to be tested a bit, I'm sure, coming out of the gate.
It was. I mean, anytime you get to the state tournament, you're going to face adversity, and we haven't faced a whole lot of adversity in games this year. So that, you know, that first half was an eye-opener for our girls, and hopefully they step on the court on Thursday and come out, you know, guns a-blazing and getting ready to go.
Let's talk about some of the aspects that worked in this contest. Once again, Jody Noyes, she had her way down low, Coach. She managed a double-double by our statistics in this contest. She finishes with 22 points, 10 boards, also had a few assists. How did you assess the way Jody played?
I thought she played great. She took her time. She was fundamentally sound with what she had, and you know, she caught the ball well, and she attacked the basket well, which was crucial for us. You know, I didn't think that they did a great job of guarding her down in the low post, which you know, allowed us to get her the ball, and then she took advantage of what they weren't doing to her, which she needs to do. She's capable of doing that against anybody. If she makes a quick move to the basket, she generally scores, and that's something that she needs to do the rest of the season for us. She's got to catch the ball and go up strong and finish, and I thought she played really well.
Abby reaches double digits with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Coach, a lot of the girls that you guys had in the starting five, they were big across the board. I know Jordan only scored 4 points, but she did have 4 assists, 4 steals to her name as well. Cora chipped in with 6 points. I mean, you guys were pretty solid front to back, and I know that's kind of a reoccurring theme with this team. But even in the state tournament, to see that type of production across the board, I'm sure from a coaching staff's perspective, is great.
Well, we have to be consistent at everything that we're trying to accomplish, and scoring is a big thing. We need somebody else to step up in that post besides Jody to score for us, and if we can have 2 threats down there, that's going to make us even tougher to play against. So we know our guards can get a lot of things done for us, but we're still looking for that other post spot to step up and do some big things for us also, and it's happened a few times this year, but at the state tournament, we need to have both of them going in all 3 games. So we've been focusing on that quite a bit this week's practices, and we will make sure that they're ready to go for Thursday.
And without jumping too far ahead, Coach, that top half of the bracket is really shaping up to be interesting. Region 15 is pretty good when you take a look at the top 3 teams. South Sevier and Richfield both gave Emory some fits at times this season. Both of those squads are now still left in the top half of the bracket. Richfield's going to be first for us. What do you know about Richfield, Coach? What stands out to you?
Well, they lost a lot of their best players last year due to graduation, but they have some good ones returning, and Coach Peterson always does a good job down there in Richfield. He's a heck of a coach, and you know, his teams are always well prepared, and they will come out and be no different on Thursday. They're gonna watching them play against South Summit on Friday afternoon. They get after it. They play a good aggressive man to man. They'll also come out in a 1-3-1 trap. They have 2 players that are their predominant scorers. The Lord girl, and then I think it's Steck. Steck's probably their best outside shooter, and the Lord girl, she kind of does it all. She's a scorer for them, so we got to know where those two are all the time, and make sure that we're contesting whatever they're trying to do, and hopefully make them pass more. So our goal on Thursday is to make sure that we play great defense, and that's going to be hard against Richfield. They like to drive, and they like to kick, and they like to shoot. So our girls are going to have to be active. They're going to have to move their feet. They're going to have to contest shots, and then they're going to have to go rebound. And we're very capable of doing that. I have no reservations that our team won't come out and play hard. So I'm looking forward to the matchup. I think it's going to be a good game, and I think it's going to be exciting for our fans and an exciting game at the tournament.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dinos. Coach, 3 games in 3 days. As far as the make of the team, the rotation of the team, the health-wise, everything as good as could be expected right now for the squad going into the final 3 days?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, barring any more sicknesses that have been going around, we've kind of had the strep bug hit us and all the other stuff that's been going around the community. So hopefully we're done with that and our kids are ready to go.
It's definitely the steepest competition that any team is going to see. I think you guys have the toughest road, Coach, when you really take a look at it, because I think that Manti is a team I got to watch a little bit this year. They're not a bad basketball team, and there was the whole scenario of how Manti got into the state tournament. You get past that, you get Richfield, who's the number 2 seed from Region 15, and if you're fortunate enough to get by Richfield, you have South Sevier and Grantsville waiting for you, and then you have Emory in the state championship if things play out in that direction. I don't know that there could have been a more difficult road for a number 1 seed, and that's why this is fascinating to me, to see how the girls can perform against this level of competition, because it is the most elite route in my mind that you could have.
Well, I think, you know, for us, when you get to the state tournament, there's going to be 8 teams there that are good teams, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to step up to that challenge no matter who you play. And every year we've gone to the final 8, we've always had great competition in that next game. So we're used to it. Yeah, we've got a tough road ahead of us, but if you want to win it, you've got to be able to beat good teams. And, you know, it may be a difficult route for us, but it's also a difficult route for the teams that have to play against us. So we've got to step on the court with that mentality in mind that, you know what, yeah, they're a good team, but so are we. And if we have any doubts in our minds when we step on the court, that's going to be a problem for our girls. So our focus this week is, you know what, we're here because we belong here. We're a good basketball team. We've proved it all year long, and everybody can say whatever they want about the competition that we've played. We can't help who's in our region. We just have to play the games. And we've done a fantastic job of competing all year long. Yeah, we had 2 little hiccups in Grand Junction against 2 very good basketball teams, and we recovered from that. And as a result, we went 12-0 in our region play. And so I'm very proud of our girls. I have all the confidence in our team, and we just need to go out and do our thing. And if we can do that, good things are going to happen for us.
Coaches always talk about experience, right? And this is a younger team, and you guys had the state championship experience last year where you got to go to the tournament, lost to the eventual state champions in Emory. And so obviously that would categorizes experience for a younger group. So from a coach's standpoint, how do you use past experiences to make sure that these girls are put in a successful spot moving forward this year?
Well, we've been going back and looking at what we did this summer. That Las Vegas tournament was huge for us. We played 6 games in that tournament. We went 5-1, lost to a team from Hawaii by 3 points. And we ended up going through and winning the tournament. And we played against some really, really good basketball teams. And I think that experience really helped our girls understand that they can compete at a high level against anybody that they play against. If you'd look at the teams that we played and the team that we beat in the championship, you'd have thought we were going to get beat by 40. They were, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", across their front line. And we had a battle, and we battled the whole game against them. And they came into that game thinking that they were going to stomp us, and you know, we let them know differently. And that's something you've got to play with a chip on your shoulder when people don't think that you're very good. And I think our kids have learned how to do that. They've learned how to play together well, and they've learned how to execute at a high level. And I attribute a lot of that to what we experienced this summer. That was probably the best thing that ever happened to these girls.
Coach, lastly, before I let you go, I do want to jump and talk about some of the other sports with you being the athletic director. Obviously, a terrific end of the swim season. I know wrestling just performed well at the state championship as well. Connor Fawcett earns a 2nd place finish individually. So all in all, the winter sports season has been a lot of fun. Even though the boys' season has come to an end, there were some positives there as well. And, of course, the girls still have a chance for a state championship. It's a fun winter season at Carbon High. All the sports have been very competitive and very enjoyable to watch.
It has been, and you know what, it's the winter sports season is a grind because it's the longest season. And for these kids to do what they've done in all of their sports, it's been phenomenal to watch, and we're extremely proud of our winter sport athletes and what they've accomplished. It's been the girls' swim team winning a state championship was the icing on the cake, and hopefully, the girls' basketball team can go down to Richfield and add to that. So we're extremely proud of all of our athletes. The wrestling team had a great performance at the state tournament. Connor Fawcett had a great outing. He ended up losing in his championship game by 1 point, or his championship match by 1 point. And he worked hard all year long, and he was excited to be in that round. So, like I said, we couldn't be more proud of all of our winter sport athletes. And we still have one more week of winter sports before we get out for the spring sports. And I guess the thing that probably bothers me more about that is there's too much snow on the ground. Maybe we should extend the spring sports or the winter sports out for another couple of weeks so the snow can melt. What do you think about that?
I agree. I'm not ready for basketball to be over, Coach. It's too much fun. And again, you talked about wrestling and swimming. No, it's been a lot of fun. I'm with you 100%. Coach, thank you so much for taking out the time, and we will see you at the games this weekend.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. Have a great day.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
More high school basketball talk here on this Tuesday edition of the show. Again, coming up on Thursday, we'll have three games for you. The Emory Boys, Emory Girls, and Carbon Girls. Emory right here on KOAL. Carbon, they're going to be on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. So a lot of exciting stuff coming up this weekend. We just talked to Coach Ted Bianco a few moments ago. Joining us right now on the phone, we have Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans, who blasted through American Leadership Academy. Coach, a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet, Jordan.
Coach, we did get to talk following the game on Friday. A big win, 86-15 against ALA. We can kind of rehash that a little bit for those who didn't listen to the live broadcast. Fun contest. Early on, you guys came out powerful defensively. It was 8-0 before ALA even got the ball across the mid-stripe line. You guys just went out, you took care of business early, and I know in a one-game win-or-go-home type scenario, upsets happen when the lesser teams gain confidence early on, and you guys didn't allow that to happen.
No, we didn't. We actually jumped out in our press, not that we needed to do that. The reason we done it is get our girls going. Seems like when we come out against a lesser team, if we get defensively in the press and get motion and get us moving, try to speed the tempo up, we do much better. And they've done a very good job at it. I think first three or four possessions, ALA wasn't even able to get the ball across half court. And then they did a very good job capitalizing on them steals. We scored after we stole the ball. So, like you say, it was 8-0 before we pulled out of the press, and just kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
Coach, the attitude with the girls, I mean, they've never played down to their competition. It's one of the things that I've been so impressed with this team. You win 37, 38 games in a row, and I'm sure there's a level of complacency that you as a coach, you got to worry about, but the girls have never done that. I mean, throughout the entire year, there wasn't the heaviest dose of competition in Region 15 night in and night out. There were a couple of teams that were down a bit, yet the girls still went out and took care of business. I'm actually really impressed with this, Coach. I don't know that I have ever seen a high school team continue to dominate the competition, even though they should. How have you got the girls to play with this level of urgency, despite the fact that it may, I don't want to say it gets boring, but I guess maybe that's the right term. How have you managed to work through that?
Well, we've kind of got the same thoughts in our mind. It'd be easy to show up and play down to the other team's level, but knowing that like we do, we stress. I mean, leading up to each team, we've always just approached the next game of the season, making it the most important one of the season. We just stress that regardless of the competition, the level of competition we're going to match up against, we're going to go out and play Emory ball. And preparing that way in practice and mentally preparing the girls, I think, has done a good job, the night before the game, keeping their mind on the game and what we're trying to accomplish. And like you mentioned, they've come out and done extremely well, whether it was against Richfield and South Sevier, where we had to come out firing, or maybe against the lesser team, Grand and Manti, where we probably wasn't required to come out and play our best, but we did. Up there Friday against ALA, I was real impressed how the girls showed up ready to play and just went out and played to our capabilities and done what we can do.
Okay, there's a lot of talk about just how talented that boys Region 15 division is, and it is. I mean, I think it's the best division in the boys 3A classification by a mile. But I think that sometimes, because of Emory's dominance, we've neglected how good Region 15 is on that side. And when you look at it, the fact is we got three teams that have now advanced to the Final Eight. That's pretty impressive, Coach. And it's South Sevier and Richfield, two teams that you've been very complimentary of.
Yeah, I that upper bracket, I know Carvin's got Richfield, and that's going to be tall order. Richfield's a good team if you let him get going. And then Grantsville are meeting up with South Sevier. And it's surely a game they shouldn't be overlooking, because South Sevier is a dangerous team. They can get in there and make a lot of noise here in the next week. So, Region 15, like you mentioned, three or four teams down, but there's still three. I consider myself, our team, Richfield and South Sevier, one of the top teams in 3A, three of the top teams.
Obviously, health is always key around this time of the year, Coach. Were you guys able to get out of the play-in game with ALA injury-free?
Yeah, we were. Fortunately, it went well. No injury. A little bit of sickness over the weekend with some girls, but other than that, we've come in yesterday afternoon healthy and looking forward to the end of the week.
We have to talk about how deep you were able to roll the bench, Coach. It's great to see every girl that made the trip got a little bit of action, and I know you and I did talk about this off of the cuff, but again, I'm going to bring it back up. Fact is, you had some really young girls get some solid experience playing at a 3A play-in game at a neutral site. Talk to me about that type of experience for those girls, some of the underclassmen that got a chance to play.
Well, it's good for them. It's always a different atmosphere. You get in the state tournament play-in game and beyond. Just a little different feeling out in the court and in the gym in general. I think it's key to get them girls, the younger girls, some experience and time. I look back 4 years ago. These seniors I have now, they kind of had the senior situation. They had some valuable minutes down there in the 2A tournament. And year after year, I could see it pay dividends. It just got more comfortable each year. So any time a girl, you know, a freshman, sophomore, even a junior at that, if they can get some minutes in a crucial game like that, where it's a little different atmosphere, it's actually a state tournament, I think it bids well for the future.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Lynn Suttle of the Emory Lady Spartans. Coach, let's talk about the second round matchup. This will be Thursday evening at 5:50 p.m. toe-to-toe with Morgan. Morgan did defeat Union 59-52. You and I talked a little bit about this team off of the cuff. They want to use their guard play a little bit. They're not going to use their bigs. And so, stylistically, this should be a good matchup.
It should be. Their strength is definitely out front with the guards. The game we watched up there and some of the film I've watched, they don't tend to use their big guys. They don't even look for them. So defensively, I think we'll match up all of them. We've got this, our guard strength is extremely well also. So we'll man up with them. Then we'll have the big sitting there in the paint waiting in case they get by our first line. And it should go well for us. They're physical. They got the Morrell girl and the Cragen girl. They love contact. So you get guards out front like that that can handle the ball. They can be dangerous. But I think we'll match up well against them, kind of stop penetration, and see where it goes from there.
Let's talk about your guard play, Coach. And again, Kinley and Caselin, they've kind of been the pillar of consistency for you out of the backcourt. You and I have also talked a lot about Morgan Herdsman. I mean, really, you have three girls that are capable of doing pretty much anything that you want to do out of the backcourt. And over the course of playing three games in 3 days, that's going to pay dividends. When I say that, you got three girls that can kind of handle all the duties in the backcourt. I mean, that's a fair assessment, right?
Yes, for sure. All three of them have been solid all year. Morgan's kind of been our defensive stopper. She's extremely quick on her feet, can stop any penetration by usually their better guard or point guard. We like to get her out and apply pressure as soon as they cross over half court and they can't study the floor. It's difficult for the opposing team to get an offense and find the right pass. But, yeah, then you got the Tumors. They're solid night in and night out. They're going to give you both offense and defense, and they're kind of a tough task to handle.
I know last week, Coach, you and I briefly talked about this, but have you given any idea to the type of rotation that you would use in a competitive game as far as the state tournament goes now that we're into the final 3 days? I mean, how deep, ideally, would you like to run in a competitive contest?
Well, with the three games back-to-back, if we're fortunate enough to get that far, it may change a little bit, you know, if we can get some girls a little deeper in the bench and save some legs for the following games. It's definitely what I want to do. But you mentioned if we're in a real competitive type ball game, first thing you got to do is take care of that ball game. So if we get in a situation like that, we're going to go just our regular rotation and try to get by that hurdle.
I'm curious to your thoughts, Coach, in that top half of the bracket. Grantsville, South Sevier, Richfield, Carbon. Those are the first two games that we will see, or the last two games, that we will see on Thursday night. Looking at that top half of the bracket, and again with two Region 15 squads being there, that's some competitive basketball. I think when we go across the board, we look at the final eight teams, there's competitive games. Are you surprised by any of the matchups at all?
No, not necessarily. That upper bracket, it's going to be a dogfight clear to the end. I know, like I mentioned, South Sevier and Richfield, they're extremely dangerous teams. And Coach Peterson from Richfield, you give him 3 or 4 days to prepare for an individual team, and I can guarantee you he's got a game plan that's going to affect the team he's up against.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to get you on and talk a little bit about what's up and coming. I know this is crunch time. This is what we play all year for. What does the rest of the week look like for you as far as practicing goes?
We went pretty hard last night just to keep our legs and lungs in shape. Tonight we'll kind of a little lighter practice, and we'll study some game film on Morgan. Typically maybe the same thing tomorrow, try to save some legs for the following week. But yesterday went typically normal practice. Today and tomorrow we'll go a little bit lighter.
Do you focus at all or watch any video at all, not necessarily as a team, but for as a coach, Juab and Judge, knowing that if you do win, you're going to have a really short turnaround to play one of those teams?
Yeah, we're not. Unfortunately, this time of year, you got to just prepare for the next game. That's our biggest game. So we're just concentrating on Morgan right now. We will have the possibility to have a computer in a meeting room for maybe Thursday night. Friday morning, look at whoever we're going to match up with that day and just walk through things.
Coach, it's always fun. Thank you again for the time. We'll see you at Richfield on Thursday.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it.
That's Coach Lynn Tuttle again of the Emory Lady Spartans talking about Thursday's matchup. Emory will take on Morgan. That'll be a late start time, 5:50, I believe is when tip-off is for that game. So, of course, you'll be able to listen to it right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back to talk Major League Baseball. Manny Machado, baseball's latest $300 million man. He's on his way to the San Diego Padres. We'll talk about that when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I'm going to move over to the national sports scene, talk Major League Baseball. We'll bring in Travis Anderson for this next segment. Manny Machado signs a 10-year, $300 million deal, the richest contract in American sports history. Travis, I answered this question earlier. Is he worth it? And the answer in short is no, he's not. He's not worth it. Padre fans, you have every right to be excited today because I am of the mindset that you have to overpay. If you're somewhat floundering, you have to overpay to create some excitement. I don't mind the contract, okay? I don't mind the deal for the Padres, and we can talk about the ramifications of that. But let's be real. They overpaid for Manny Machado because he's not worth 10 years, $300 million. And I can take it one step further in just a bit. But to answer that question, no, he's not worth it.
No, I'm with you. It's not. The Padres tried this a few years ago, go back when they brought in a bunch of players like Upton and James Shields and Matt Kemp. And they spent a lot of money. And then a year later, they sold it all up. But yeah, Manny Machado is not worth $300 million. But the Padres have to create some sort of buzz. And here's your buzz. So they go out, they back up the Brinks truck, give it all to Manny Machado. Is it going to work? Probably not. But like you said, they have to get some sort of buzz into that ballpark.
Well, they have the best farm system in all of baseball. They do. I know everybody wants to talk about what Theo's got brewing in Chicago or what's happening in St. Louis. It's just a sexy thing to do, talk about St. Louis's farm system. But in my eyes, the best farm system in the game right now, to me, it's San Diego.
And I would start selling those pieces off and get pitching and build around Machado if that's your plan.
I wouldn't. I would go a different direction. I'm going to tell you why. They're not going to make the playoffs this next year.
No, they're not going to make the playoffs probably in the next 2 years.
But Manny Machado's young. Okay? He's a young guy. And you just signed him to a 10-year deal. You're not thinking, you don't have to think of the now. You don't have to win now. Okay, this guy's 26 years old. I like this contract a hell of a lot better than the Albert Pujols contract in Anaheim because Machado was 26 years old. You take a look at what Machado was done. He averages about, what, 36, 37 home runs a year, 159 games, so he is durable. His WAR, which is huge now in analytics as far as Major League Baseball goes, like 5.8.
He's got a good glove.
He's got a good glove. He's the face of the franchise. You know, you team him up, Fernando Tatis Jr., it's a fun name, right?
Yep.
People are going to be paying attention to this guy. Padres have one of the best left sides of the infield in the majors. I think it's right up there with the Dodgers right now. The Dodgers are still going to be loaded with Justin Turner and Corey Seager on that side of the field. But for me, I'm okay with them not going for the now. Now, if you go out and you sign Bryce Harper...
That's what they want to do.
Well, that's what they want to do, but I think Bryce Harper is going to command at least $301 million, and I don't think you can wrap up $600 million in 10 years between two players. So to me, I don't know that Machado lasts all 10 years in San Diego.
I say 4-5 at tops.
Well, he's got an opt-out after 5.
I say that's when he's going to opt out at 5.
That would make sense. But still, what they have brewing in that farm system... I don't mind the deal. I think you're bringing in someone to be the face. Look, I'm always the guy that I don't rip analytics because I think analytics means something. But at the same time, it only goes so far. Manny Machado's a big-time player, and I can give you statistic after statistic. You know I'm a Dodger guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was not good in the postseason last year. I still
he
don't
struggled.
Care. I don't care. I don't care. It's Manny Machado. The guy can play the game of baseball. Again, largest contract in American sports history, surpassing A-Rod's 10-year, $275 million deal. I'll tell you what I have the bigger problem with. They signed Hosmer to $145 last year.
I think it's $150. But
okay, I don't have
$145 to $150 range.
Okay. The Padres have spent more on two players than they did in their previous 25 off-seasons combined. And you have one of the best farm systems in baseball. To me, it just makes sense. And I like it. I like it a lot. And I could not have predicted that Machado would be a member of the Padres. I would have never guessed this the way talks were going and the way things looked, I don't know, a mere 48 hours ago. Yeah, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, the Padres were the last team to get in the mix, and they are the team to get him. So they came in late, and they worked their magic and found a way to get him. So kudos. And he gets to live in San Diego for the next 10 years, so good for him.
Yeah, look, nobody wants to play. Regardless, nobody wants to live in Philadelphia.
Or Chicago on the with the White Sox side, yeah.
The White Sox.
No,
the only way the White Sox were going to get Machado is if they gave him $310 million, and according to reports, they were nowhere near close to that. And I don't blame them. Like I said, I don't think that Machado was worth $300 million, but I think the situation fits. I think the Padres knew that they had to do something to get him in. Now, looking at this roster front to back, you talked about trading some of those younger pieces. If you do, you need to start focusing on the pitching.
You gotta.
That's really where you have to start focusing if you're the Padres. That's next.
Got to shore up the starting pitching and then work your way from there because you got Hosmer and Machado now. Those are your two big bats in the lineup with, you know, Tatis or whoever it may be. So I say go out, you know, play it this year. The next year, look at your options and go out and make a move and go for it.
Okay, so where's Bryce Harper go?
Philadelphia.
I don't think so, man. I made that prediction 2 days ago that he was going to go to Philly.
I say Philadelphia. I think all the signs are pointing to the Phillies.
But if they don't pay him, I mean, this is why I think he may stay put in Washington. I can see the Nationals caving and saying, okay, 310, because there are reports that they offered 300 over 10 back in, like, October,
yeah.
And he declined, right?
He did.
So now, Manny Machado set the market today. This is no different than the NFL. You have players that dictate the market, right?
There's your market.
The market's set now. The market hadn't been set. That's why free agency was moving so slow.
And maybe
who set the market? DJ LeMahieu at $10 million a year? The market's set now for Harper.
And Nolan Arenado's smiling today because now he knows because he's the best third baseman in baseball.
I agree.
He's going to get a huge contract now. So Machado set the market for him, Bryce Harper, and then Mike Trout coming up.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you brought up DJ LeMahieu. LeMahieu or Machado? Who would you rather have? Oh, or man. Not LeMahieu, I'm sorry, Arenado.
I would rather have Nolan Arenado. best third baseman in the game, best defensive third baseman all around. I think Arenado is better than Machado. I would rather have Nolan Arenado.
He's only a year older.
Yeah, I think he's. I think he's awesome.
Okay, so if Machado gets $300 million, Arenado is going to get $310 million. Harper gets $340 million,
and then
I have no idea what Mike Trout's going to get come 2021.
It ain't going to be from the Angels.
No, the Angels aren't going to pay him that. No, there's no way. But nonetheless, Machado was a San Diego Padre. I like it. I think it works on
maybe
both
a mystery
sides.
Team gets Bryce Harper like the Giants or somebody.
Saying.
Like,
what I'm saying.
It's just oddball.
Nobody could have predicted San Diego 2 days ago. Nobody could have predicted this for Machado.
No. Maybe I'm. You know, I'm going to change. I'm going to say that Bryce Harper ends up with the San Francisco Giants.
You're going on a limb, is what you're doing.
Yes,
and I'm okay with that. I honestly think it makes the most sense for the Nationals to up that deal and keep him in Washington. Time will tell. There's no doubt. Always great to be along with you on the afternoon drive. I want to thank Coach Lynn Suttle and Coach Ted Bianco for joining us today. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.